I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I struggle with codependency and control. My name is Maggie. I came to Celebrate Recovery several years ago because I knew I had problems with codependency. I came here to learn the skills I needed to fix all the screwed up people in my life so that I could live in peace. Unfortunately, I learned that I couldn't fix anybody but me, and I've had a lot of work to be done. But with God's help, all things really are possible. I was born here in Portland. I grew up near the airport, and I lived in the same house until I left home at 18. I was one of four kids, the oldest daughter. I had a lot of responsibility growing up, helping with the house and with younger kids. My parents were hardworking people. We were probably low income, but I never realized it. Gifts came from the goodwill, and we didn't know any different. My dad was not highly educated, but he worked very hard at providing for us. He was handy at building and maintaining our home. My mom was able to stay home with us until I was 14. She was creative at stretching a dollar to feed our and clothe our family. She was a terrific seamstress and an organic gardener before organic was popular. My dad suffered from mental illness, worry, and anxiety. It was hard for him to maintain relationships outside the home. He was paranoid, and he often thought people were talking about him behind his back. It meant he changed jobs often, he had few friends, and he was often in a state of upset. At times, he had phobias about leaving the house, and he could only go a few places around town. He was unable to travel outside the city much of my life. My dad functioned best when he could control his home life and when things were in order. He couldn't tolerate a lot of silliness or foolishness. Chaos made him angry, and he could act out. I learned to be pleasing by keeping my belongings picked up, keeping my feelings to myself, and staying quiet. It was easier to cooperate than to question my dad. We were taught respect for adults, and we were raised with discipline, and I had a fear of punishment. I was always careful to do the right thing, at least when my dad was watching. I feel sorry that my dad's illness was never addressed because I know he suffered terribly. I have fond memories of my dad. He could be very funny. He was affectionate, and I never doubted that he loved me because he expressed it often. But I never felt totally at ease when my dad was at home. My mom worked tirelessly to care for her, for us. My dad's illness prevented him from being much of a support to her, and she carried a big load. She tried to compensate by being cheerful, even when the household was falling apart. She ignored dealing with unpleasant things. She was lenient when it came to discipline, and we took advantage of her at times. I think she tried to make up for my dad's harshness. My mom was adventurous and she had a desire to travel, but my dad's inability to leave the house was really hard for her. There were a few times they planned on taking us on an overnight trip. She would quietly pack things and keep them hidden in a back room because she wasn't sure he'd be able to work up the courage to go. We did take a trip to Yellowstone once. We saw the entire park in one day, and we were back home in record time. It was very disappointing. I think my mom must have been overwhelmed because she was not very available to me growing up. I never remember having a heart-to-heart talk with my mom. She was busy with younger kids and housework. I desperately wanted attention from my mom, especially in my teen years when I had questions about boys and growing up. I was jealous of other girls whose moms were like more like their best friends, going on shopping trips and other things girls like to do. I found it hard to feel loved by my mom. I enjoyed school, and I was a good student. It was a relief to be away from my stressful home life, and I had friends there. I found it easy to please most of my teachers by working hard and being responsible. I did have a fifth grade teacher who was very harsh and strict. I felt insecure in the classroom and nervous a lot of the time. I was hospitalized for unexplained stomach problems, and I missed a month of school. When I returned to school mid-year, I struggled to catch up, and my teacher didn't seem very helpful, calling on me to answer questions about things taught during my absence. She seemed to allow uncomfortably long silences when I didn't know an answer. She belittled students. There were times when I felt angry toward her, and I imagined myself giving her a piece of my mind, but I never would have spoken to a person of authority in that way. Fortunately, the rest of my school years were pretty uneventful. As I entered high school, my parents divorced and my dad moved out. This was a confusing time for me, although it was a relief to be without the tension I grew up with. I missed my dad and the security of the strict structure he provided. I associated that control with love, and I desperately wanted it. I was left at home to be the babysitter as my mom returned to work and she began dating. My mom would get dressed up in fancy evening clothes and be picked up by various dates. A lot of men came in and out of our lives during those years. I got attached to some of her male friends, and then my mom would move on to someone else. This loss, coupled with the loss of my dad in our home, was really hard for me. I grieved the breakup of my family. There was never any kind of family counseling to handle our grief. We were left alone to fend for ourselves much of the time. However, I was about to discover the answer to my loneliness. I discovered boys. I began dating when I was 15, and I was very young. I didn't know anything about boys except what I'd seen from my mom's dating life. I had several year-long relationships with boys in high school, always older than I was. I looked to older boys to provide the care and control I craved. I was immature, clingy, demanding, and bossy, not much of a girlfriend. I imagined that each of these boys would marry me and we could play house, but boys at this age are not really interested in settling down. There were frequent arguments, breakups, and lots of drama. I was invited to a high school young life event by some classmates when I was 15. I began hearing about Christ's sacrifice on the cross, and I asked Jesus into my heart at a retreat later that year. I never shared this news with my parents. I didn't think they would understand or approve. I didn't belong to a church, and it wasn't until years later that I began to fully comprehend that my sins were completely paid for. I didn't grow much as a Christian during my teenage years, but I always knew I was saved, and I would live in heaven someday, and that's always been a comfort to me. During my senior year, my mom remarried and made plans to move us to a new area. It meant having to change schools and leave my boyfriend, and my boyfriend was my security blanket. When he proposed, I said yes, and we were married right after graduation. I was not mature in my faith, he was not a believer, and this was a recipe for disaster. I threw myself into homemaking with a vengeance. I pored over every cookbook I could get my hands on, and I kept the house clean, trying to recreate the order and control I knew as a child. My husband didn't share the same need for extreme order. I fussed over his socks on the floor, and I worried about finances. I expected him to protect me the same way my dad did. He didn't get it. I made life miserable for us. The fighting, arguing, and nagging started soon after we were married, and we were divorced 2.5 years later. I was ashamed at my failure at being a wife. Newly divorced, I was lonely and confused. I didn't seem to fit in anywhere. Both my parents had new families and new homes, but I'd already discovered boys, so I began looking in places to find them. Mostly, I looked in bars. I dolled myself up, and I hit the dating scene, and I engaged in some very risky behavior. I smoked pot, I drank alcohol, and partied. I was fortunate I never got pregnant, raped, or caught driving under the influence because I put myself in some risky situations. I know now that God protected me during these years and he cared for me. In my quest to repackage myself and find a new identity, I took up skydiving. It gave me the attention, notoriety, and identity I craved. I had a group of friends at the drop zone. I belonged. I was somebody. I jumped into weddings, retirement parties, and the 4th of July fireworks. I had plenty of thrills, but I wasn't ever all that good at it. I landed in a tree on a farmer's property, and I had to be plucked from the tree by the fire department and their hook and ladder truck. Ambulances came, and I made the front page of the newspaper. Well, it was only the Estacada Times, but just saying. The farmer's tree had to be cut down to get my parachute out, and he wasn't too happy about it. I hit more than a few fresh cow pies during landings. Some of them were warm. Now, wasn't that glamorous? I finally broke an ankle, which really clipped my wings, and the next year wasn't pretty as I hobbled around on crutches in casts between surgeries and x-rays. But something wonderful did come of that. I met a calm, stable accountant man named Paul, and he was attracted to thrill seekers. I think I inspired him to live life on the edge because he proposed, and after only 18 days, we got married in a fever. We built a family, we raised our daughters, and I still love him more than anything after 37 years. Who else would put up with me? I did talk him into one parachute jump, but he didn't think the pain was worth the thrill. And I can tell you that opposites do really attract. As I became a wife and a new mother, I was very happy with my little family. I could finally play house. I had a place. I belonged. I was in control of my own home. I poured myself into raising our girls and made a home for them, but my old insecurities still remained. I needed to maintain order. My two girls were well-dressed and well-behaved. The house was clean, homework was done before play, and everything had to be in order before I could fall asleep at night. I wasn't a pleasant wife or a mother. I nagged. My perfectionism took a toll on my family and my health, and I began suffering from headaches and migraines in my 30s. Through those early struggles, the Holy Spirit began working in me, and I found my way back to the Lord. We began attending church as a family. I was involved in Bible studies, and our girls were learning in Sunday school. I loved God, and I wanted to please Him. Our family was in church at every opportunity, worshiping and serving in music, teaching, children's ministries. I was a church treasurer. On the outside, it appeared I had a good grasp of the Bible, and I was thriving. But on the inside, I still felt broken, like I needed to pay God back for His sacrifice for my sins. I thought when I got my act together, I'd feel more able to come before Him, have a real relationship with God, to feel worthy. It would be many years before I was able to replace this faulty thinking and truly experience God's love for me. I always thought I was a good listener. To feed my desire to connect with people, I spent hours on the phone listening to sad, sad stories. I seemed to attract people with problems, and I felt very important giving advice. I could charge in on my white horse, I could be the hero, and rescue the hurting. I now had found my purpose in life. Doesn't the Bible tell us to be long-suffering? Aren't we to love the unlovely? Well, I desperately needed the unlovely to fuel my ego and for my need for self-importance. I had my own counseling service, and I didn't even need any training. I would spend hours listening to people, often at the expense of my own family. At times, I felt like a prisoner held captive on the phone by someone, but it made me feel important to have people trust me. I got a high off of other people's problems. The burden of other people's problems was taking a further toll on my health. I was now having anxiety and sleeplessness. Several years ago, we had some family counseling, and I began hearing about this concept of codependency. I read a list of self-diagnostic questions in a book. Do you feel responsible for the actions of others? Do you feel compelled to help others before considering your own needs? Are you experiencing symptoms of stress, headache, stomach ache, upsets? Do you get easily depressed, lethargic, or sick when you help others? Well, there was a long list of questions, and I could answer yes to every one of them. I knew I needed help, and I found my way here to celebrate recovery. I circled around to different small groups for a while, never quite settling into a group because I didn't want to have to get too close to people. I was afraid others would recognize my insecurities and that if I ever started crying, I'd probably never stop. That has been true. After a year, I realized I wasn't making much progress, and I decided to give this thing called recovery a try. A new eating disorders group was opening up, and I thought they'd be talking about nutrition like a weight loss class. That seemed like a safe subject. I liked my group of ladies and joined a new step study. I learned that nutrition was not my problem. I think the timing was right, and I had suffered just long enough. In my step study, I found a group of ladies whom I could trust with all my hurts, who would still love me despite my brokenness. My sponsor provided wisdom and balance when I faltered. She encouraged me, kept me on track, and she didn't let me quit. Being able to open up about the insecurities of my childhood was very freeing. I examined my past and my need for control. I began learning to take care of myself and let others solve their own problems. I learned new ways to handle my stress. The most eye-opening thing for me, the codependent, was principle number one: realize I am not God. I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, and my life is unmanageable. Imagine that. I am not God. God does not need me, but I need him. I realized my arrogance and pride in trying to be God, because I never trusted that God could love me enough. I learned that control is not love, it's insecurity. I learned worry is the opposite of trust, and I'm learning to trust God. I've had to work through some remorse and regret as I examine my critical words toward my family and my need for them to fuel my ego. I had disciplined my children in harsh ways. I failed to teach them God's love. I'd spent too much time meddling in other people's problems and neglecting to take care of my own. I'm now learning how to take care of me. I've lost 18 pounds. I sleep better at night, and I manage my stress in healthier ways. I've added exercise and healthy eating to my program because I no longer feel a need to punish myself for my lack of perfection. After my fourth step, and after I gave my inventory, I realized I no longer had nightmares about not knowing the right answer or doing something wrong. My little counseling service has now been shut down. So sorry, folks, you're on your own. Or you're safe from me. My relationships have improved and my marriage has grown. I'm very fortunate to have other family members who understand and encourage me in my recovery. We just enjoyed a wonderful holiday season together without any conflict. I was able to appreciate little giggles from grandchildren and ignore the wrapping paper and ribbons grabbing at my ankles. 10 people and only one shower in my house is pretty amazing. I feel more at ease. The Lord has blessed me with an understanding husband, 2 forgiving daughters, and 5 beautiful grandchildren. I'm learning more about God in my quiet time. Through this time, I'm continuing on with my recovery. I've developed a new hunger for God's word. Scriptures I learned in the past are coming to me in meaningful ways. I'm learning to work on one small character defect at a time, and right now, God is teaching me about his grace. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, "Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, in which we now stand. It is my faith that brings me grace, not whether my house is clean. There's nothing I can do to add to or take away from this grace. I've always loved God, but I'm learning to appreciate how much he loves me. He chose me. He died for me, and by grace he saved me. He sees me as whole and complete. I am worthy in his eyes." John 19:30 says of Jesus when he was hanging on the cross, and Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and he died. It is finished. Jesus' death on the cross did it all. He was enough, and I am enough. Jesus resurrected and went to heaven, and I look forward to being there with him someday. I've acknowledged that I'm not God, and neither were my parents. Control is not God's way. God's ways are gentle and loving. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I've found a wonderful support system here at Celebrate Recovery with my sponsors, leaders, stepsisters, and all of you. I spent a lot of time circling around, afraid to get involved. If you're new to CR, don't circle around too long. Life doesn't get easier on your own. We need each other. Take part in a small group, start sharing, sign up for a step study, and meet new friends by volunteering for a service opportunity. You'll be glad you did. It's a lot safer than jumping out of airplanes. Thank you.